This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Hey everybody, what's happening? This is Gus G and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
Horns up, everyone! Welcome to a Why Did We Let Him Go episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 503, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron. And listeners, I want to tell you to support this show because we know you love it. That's why you listen every week. I want you to support the show by checking out True Cult Coffee, because today's Radioactive Metal today's Radioactive Metal podcast, dude, it's been a week, has been possessed by the demons within True Cult Coffee. True Cult Coffee is a small town coffee that summons the ultimate flavor through fresh roasted deliverance. Snowy will attest right now for you. And I just found out that he's, you know, confirmed and baptized. So maybe he'll make the sign of the cross when he does it. We'll get the Pope to swear by it that the Cafe Storm, their first roast, is a fantastic coffee. Snowy, would you tell us a little bit about the Cafe Storm?
The Cafe Storm, that is something like when you've had a rough day, much like I've had, and you're tired and you're just ready to say, fuck this world and all that, man, break out this particular cafe and give it a go, and trust me, you will be ready to rock and roll.
It will perk you up.
And I'm glad that you brought up that the Cafe Storm is the perfect fuck the world coffee, because when you're fully past the fuck the world and you want to burn it down, well, that's when you get Mjork Helvete. Mm. That is the Dark Hell, Norwegian for Dark Hell roast. And this is the roast that is the blackest of black coffees. And I mean, truly, it's hotter than a church in Norway. So to get your cup of coffee, you're going to need to buy a bag, which means you should go to trvekvltcoffee.com. Check them out on the Insta pages at trve.kvlt.coffee. So go support our sponsors because you love us. We know you're going to love them. Snowy and Corrine love the coffee. And, you know, we don't just make this shit up. I mean, there's a lot of shit we make up, but not this particular one.
As a matter of fact, we just made Corrine up. She doesn't really exist.
Yeah, it's all a figment of all of our imaginations.
That's right. She's not really there. We really can't get a young pretty girl like that to hang out with us every week. We just can't.
And yeah, proof. Yeah. She's not here this week.
She's our Tyler Durden in Fight Club.
That's it. So how is everyone doing tonight?
Oh, it's doing.
Yeah. You know,
it's been a hell of a month, man.
Well, hopefully things will kind of turn around for you. And of course, you know, we're all here for you. Personally, yeah, I can relate. I've had a long day myself. I'm sore. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm everything. But shit like that, as everyone in the Winnipeg metal scene will attest to, that's a good thing when Snowy's tired, sore, and hungry, because you know that he's ready to rock.
Yeah.
and all that.
It spells trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, good trouble, good trouble. And the thing that has made me sore and tired and all that is that it's springtime. The snow's almost melted. We're like 10 degrees. I don't know what that is in goofy American weather, but it's beautiful out and all that. So this week I broke out Betsy. Now, everyone that wants to know, you know, our longtime listeners will know who Betsy is, but you know, if you're relatively new, Betsy is my skateboard. Yeah. I took up skateboarding the last couple of years, and she's been pretty good to me. And I'm out and about tearing it up. You know, it's one of Snowy's three S's for the Fountain of Youth. You need lots of skating, lots of slamming, and lots of screwing. You do all of these three as much as you can. That is the Fountain of Youth right there. And that is my plans this weekend for sure. And we're starting it off. We're starting it off right with this show. We have an absolutely amazing creature feature. But before we get on with the grunt here, I do want to say hello and horns up. And I'm sure my cohorts here will back me up on this when I say horns to our good buddy, Dustin Ducky, who this week, if you guys hadn't seen on the Facebooks and all that, he was just appointed one of the booking agents for here in Winnipeg for the Hollowed Ground Productions Company.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah. Ducky. How about that? Eh?
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to call his punk ass sir some night. Time soon.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. I told him we would give him a shout out and all that. So yeah, good on him. And he's one of those movers and shakers within the, not just the Winnipeg scene, but you know, if one scene thrives, we all benefit. And he's one of those guys, you know, that is there and has been for a long time. And we're so lucky to have him not only in the scene here, but in our lives. So good on you, Ducky. And now the fun starts. Right on. How are you guys doing?
Rocking like docking.
That's quite the coincidence because they're putting out a new live album.
They are. Yeah. Oh, I'm not able to talk about it tonight. I had that come across my desk.
Yes.
This week. I haven't given it a chance.
We were sent the digital promo this week. Yes.
No. Okay. Well, if you guys got it, well, tell us all about it in the Metal Fix.
It's time for the Metal Fix. The naughty bits are tingling with excitement.
Okay, guys, what's going on?
All right, man, I'll keep mine super short and sweet here. So, as we record, tomorrow is Record Store Day, which means by the time you hear this, it's passed for a week. And depending on my travel schedule, it'll be more than 2 weeks before you get to hear what I bought. So,
jeez, we'll let this way to put us build. In suspense. Yeah,
that's the goal, right? A cliffhanger keeps people coming back. You
that's
know,
true.
Dun, so dun,
Record
dun.
Store Day. I've been having a blast posting on the Insta pages. Our, you know, kind of our picks for Record Store Day, the things that made sense for us. I put up the Circle Jerks record. Of course, I finished off today with the Ramones. Had the Celtic Frost up. Snowy, I don't know if you got to see the one about AC/DC's Back in Black.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being re-released on cassette for Record Store Day.
Nice.
Yeah, I may pick it up if they have it, just because that was the first way that I bought it was on cassette.
Oh, wow.
So it'd be kind of cool to do it all over again. And, you know, and then finally, I put this in our little group me post, you know, kayfabe in here a little bit, pulling the curtain back. Look, you guys got me using wrestling speak. Aren't you proud?
Well, at least if you used it correctly, that would work.
Yeah. But
why would I use it correctly?
Because kayfabing means that you are not giving out the secrets.
No, I know. But I said, why would I use it correctly? Because, I mean, listen, I'll use that correctly when Snowy starts using English correctly.
I have done nothing
but send flowers to Aaron's house all week.
Oh,
done nothing but tell just about a dozen pretty girls, really nice things about Aaron and all that. And then I come on here and it's shit and abuse. Oh my God. Holy jeez.
And for our listeners that are keeping score, that's Aaron 1, Snowy 437. So, anyway, point being, Henry and Heidi put out a new podcast.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you guys got to listen to it, but it actually
yes.
gave me for an episode I'd like to do. But I love the episode. It's all about the record, The End of Silence, and it explains a lot. It explains a lot about the intensity of that record, and honestly, even into weight, kind of like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Oh my goodness, I cannot talk tonight. Do either of you read Henry's tour journals?
No, I don't.
I definitely should, but I can't read everything.
All right, so check out the one Broken Summers.
I thought you were going to say you can't read.
That would have been funny too.
But, shit and abuse from Florida too. Holy shit.
Anyway, Broken Summers, really, really, really good one. But when you read his tour journals, like, you can sense there's a lot of venom in there towards band members, and I never understood why until the story about the End of Silence. And now I'm like, oh, like, it made a lot more things clear. And then last thing, the Dean Del Rey podcast that Rock turned me on to, he interviewed Cypress Hill this week, and so – it was a heck of an interview. I had no idea what a rock and roll background those guys had, like, for influences. But I especially, like, you know they're into marijuana because, oh, hey, and as we speak to is also 420.
Yes, as we're recording right now. Yep.
I know. But I know they're into it, but I didn't realize how into it they were. I mean, they are passionate about their weed. Like, apparently they've figured out their own strain and they grow it and package it now or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I had no idea. But anyway, it's a hell of an interview. Check it out. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my metal fix. Rock, over to you.
Thank you, sir. Your metal fix was fantastic. Now, time for mine. Henry and Heidi, same thing. I listened to it. I thought it was friggin' amazing. I love this, all this behind-the-scenes stuff. My metal fix this week is all about podcasts. That's all I had time to listen to this week. I'm going to mention once again Three Sides of the Coin. Now, even though they get on my nerves, they had a fantastic guest this week. They had Vinnie Vincent on. Vinnie Vincent nice. Has resurfaced recently. He's actually gone to one of Gene's Vault Experience. He was one of the guests. And you know, it was a Q&A because Vinnie came here in Orlando for the Spooky Empire show. It's like a horror movie show. And he was one of the guests. Him and JJ French were here of Twisted Sister. And one of the guys from the Stray Cats, the drummer, can't remember his name, Phantom.
Oh, wow.
Slim Jim Phantom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. That's awesome.
Yeah, he was here too. But so they did a Q&A. In front of a crowd at the Spooky Empire, you know, Three Sides of the Coin. They were the moderators and stuff. So it was really interesting. But the main thing that I took out of it that I was laughing out loud, guys, it was so funny because this was recorded before the Gene Simmons Vault Experience, okay, that Vinny was invited to. So the guys, the very last question, or towards the end, they asked him, So, when was the last time you spoke to Gene? Was the last time you saw him? And he starts laughing. He goes, "The last time I saw him was at a deposition in 1998. Oh, wow. When I was suing him."
Oh.
And he says, "I get there at the deposition, and then they brought you, we go into a room. I say, 'Hi, Gene.' He says, 'Hi, Vinny.' You know? And then the next thing is like his lawyer, bam, 'Mr. Vinny Vincent,' blah, 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 blah." And he's asking all these questions. I'm like, oh my God. And wow. He's just laughing while he's telling us that's the last time I saw Gene. And, you know, so he's talked to him since, but he says that's the last time he actually physically saw him. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, wow. You know, stuff like that, I have to shake my head when you hear about band members suing other band members and this band doesn't get along with this guy and all that, like, I cannot imagine not getting along with you three, you know?
For many years, Vinnie Vincent was not in a good place. I don't know if he was on drugs or what. He's not saying, but he was not in a good place, and I think he was getting bad advice from people, and he did stuff I don't think that he truly wanted to do, but he did it anyway. But like I said, Vinnie Vincent is resurfacing now. He did the Atlanta Kiss Expo a few weeks ago and all that. And another podcast that we're friendly with, the Decibel Geek podcast, had him on also. But they had him on a phone call. And Decibel Geek, if anybody's here has ever listened to them, since day one, they've been Vinnie Vincent supporters since day one. They've always kept talking about him. They would invite people who have worked with him and, you know, try and know more about Vinny. They tried to reach him for years and years, because Vinny lives in Nashville and the guys from Decibel Geek are also in Nashville. So they were trying to find him and try to get an interview done and all that. And finally, you know, this episode that they just released this past week, it was their like 7th anniversary. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they celebrated by having Vinnie Vincent on, you know, so
nice.
And that episode was an Albums Unleashed. It's kind of like what we do with the Album Autopsy, except theirs is not as deep as what we do with the Album Autopsy. But, you know, it was really interesting. The album that they talked about was the Vinnie Vincent Invasion, the very first solo album, if you want. And that was really interesting. That was really, really cool. You can tell he's really humble right now. You know, he says he has so much love for everybody and says it's so great that people still want to support him. And he's so thankful and all that. So, you know, you can tell he's very humble right now. So how long is that going to last? I don't know, because I kept hearing over the years how he was an asshole and he was kind of a prima donna. And so we shall see. You know, maybe he was a little bit bipolar back in the day and now he's on meds. Who knows? But Aaron, something very interesting that Vinnie Vincent said that I wanted to share with you real quick.
Yeah.
Is that one thing that he said is that he despises having a real drummer on his songs. He wants a drum machine. He prefers a drum machine on his songs. Isn't that crazy?
I use a drum machine because I can't find a real drummer.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like what the that's. Okay.
That's right. You always hear the opposite. Always. Yeah. This is the first time I hear a guy say that. He went on and on and on about it, you know, because he's the type of guy you ask him one question and he'll talk for 20 minutes, you know. So
one of those guys,
which is awesome. But, you know, in a way. But no, he actually said this is his words. He despises having a drummer. A real drummer on his song, because he says they speed up, they slow down. He says it's a pet peeve of his. Whenever he has access to one of his music, that he has like both like the drum machine and the regular drum tracks, he'll turn off the regular drum tracks and just listen to it with the drum machine.
Really?
Yeah. It was.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. So there was that, and then a couple more. Rock and Roll Twilight Zone. I keep talking about it every week. This week was about Aleister Crowley and Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was somewhat interesting. It wasn't as good as the other ones, but I thought they knew
Mr. Crowley.
I thought Jimmy Page actually knew Aleister Crowley, but no, Aleister Crowley died before, you know, that the guys in even became Led Zeppelin, you know. So,
he just bought the house.
Right? Yeah, he bought the house. Yeah, so but there was a lot about that and stuff. So that was kind of somewhat interesting. And the last thing is the Jamie Josta show. This week he had Ash Avildsen. I can't say the name. Okay. Ash Avildsen. He's the guy who started Sumerian Records.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has him on.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, really good. It's a long episode. It's like 2.5 hours. But, dude, the guy, man, his dad, okay, which you find out as you're listening to the podcast, his guy directed Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3 and Rocky.
Oh, no. Wow. And, like the first Rocky?
The first Rocky, yep.
Oh, wow.
And nice. He did not know his dad up until a few years ago.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
that's
his sad. His dad and his mother separated when he was very young, and so he never really knew his dad. And you know, he said at one point the last time he had seen him was when he was 12, because he was going to military school. And his mom and his family and his uncles and all that had scraped all as much money as they could for him to go to military school. But, you know, for the first year, but then the second year they couldn't afford it. So they were trying to get his dad to help pay for it. You know, the guy was a millionaire, you know. So he said he remembers the last time he saw him was going to court. And he said he saw his dad sitting in the hallway reading a newspaper, and he walked by. He sat down, you know, a few feet from him and just kept looking at him, hoping that he would turn around and acknowledge him. And his dad never looked at him.
Oh, wow.
And then when he finally reunited with his dad a few years ago, he says that he asked him about that. He says, yeah, he says, I remember that. And he says, I'm so sorry. He says, I was an ass and I didn't want to be there. And I thought they were trying to hit me up for millions of dollars. And he says, I'm really sorry. I should not have done that. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. But this guy now, this Ash Edelson, he's a movie director now also. He just started making movies, and he just put out one that's going to be on Showtime or HBO, and I can't remember. I think it has the name Satan in it, Mr. Satan or something like that.
American Satan.
Yeah, he's directed that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then his next one that's coming out soon is a movie called Millie, and it's a movie that I was like, that sounds really familiar. It's the movie that Jim Ross, of former WWE announcer, is also working on. It's a movie about Mildred Burke, the very first female wrestler.
Holy shit.
Yep, because Ash is also a wrestling fan. So
nice.
So yeah, now it's all, you know, it's awesome. But he's a director, a screenwriter, he's a producer, he used to be in bands, he's toured, he used to manage and book bands. I mean, and he's still working for on Sumerian. Really, really interesting episode. If you want to hear insider stuff, you know, how the business works, definitely an episode to check out, the Jamie Josta Show.
Yeah. Once again, that's one of those quote unquote celebrity podcasts that I pick and choose. And that sounds like something that definitely that I'm going to check out. And I think I'm going to send Vinnie Vincent some old Mortician albums since he likes the drum machine so much. Let's see what he
Or send him Lee Aaron, you know, what's that album, Body Rock. You remember that?
There we go.
Lee Aaron, yeah. Body Rock, the one that has What You Do to My Body. That whole album is a drum machine.
I didn't know that.
Yep, it's all the drum machine.
Okay, don't tell Mrs. White that. Shh.
Yeah,
she'll be devastated.
It's very well programmed. I got to tell you, I never knew it was a drum machine until I found out a few years ago. So,
I didn't know that. Yep. Okay, well, we will have Lee Aaron on the show, and I will be calling her out on. No, I won't.
Hello, man.
I'll just spend an hour kissing her ass. That's
hopefully not literally.
Well, I don't know.
You are a married man. He says.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done with my mental fix. What you got?
For my mental fix here, actually, I'm going to keep this a little short myself. But first and foremost, last weekend, Hell's Headbangers recording artist Midnight came through town.
That's right.
Yeah, of course, our longtime listeners will be familiar, as we had Athanar on the show about this time last year. And I'm not going to get into too much of the whys and wherefores and everything, because I had a really cool in-person chat with him, which we are going to be doing next week. So I'm just going to focus on what I saw on the stage, and I was blown a fucking way. And after which I knew I was going to be, like, there was no doubt about it. It's the first time that I had seen Midnight live, and, you know, they were done up in their hoods and their masks, and, like, they're just playing, you know, the music that I love so much. And just to see them up up here was just absolutely fantastic. But more about that next week.
Cool.
I took in another show last week we recorded. Okay, and it was Friday the 13th. And my plan was, okay, you know, I don't really have anything going on. I'm gonna pour a couple more Lemmys. I'm basically sitting on my couch in my underwear, and I'm just gonna watch like a Friday the 13th or something, just in the spirit of it, not really doing anything, not going anywhere. Then I get the phone call. It's my friend Erica, who we've heard on this show, and I've talked about her. Hello, Erica. I get a phone call from her. Snowy, what you doing? Well, I'm kind of just sitting here pouring another Lemmy, sitting in my fucking underwear. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going anywhere. Well, kind of had a crappy day, and it'd be really nice. All right, fine. I'll put on a pair of fucking pants, and I'll come out, and I'll go out, and I'll have fun.
I hope you didn't tell her that way. Jesus.
No.
All right,
no.
God damn it. I'll come have fun with you.
Damn it, fine. I'll come out and have fun. All right. Yeah. Winnipeg Hard Rock Metalers Dreadnought were headlining the Windsor. And I had a bunch of my buddies there as well. The hardcore band Chernobyl Wolves, who's really fucking good. We're going to be playing them in the near future. They were playing as well. So I just took another bottle of Jack with me. And just it was more of a social evening more than anything else. Just kind of hang out and all that. So sometimes the best times are the ones that just aren't planned, where they just kind of fall into your lap and all that. And that was definitely one of them. And as well, our longtime listeners will know what a big fan of the band Kitty I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm not going to get into too much about it, but this week I picked up that double disc documentary live CD, Origins and Evolutions, which is kind of funny that I should pick this up, because the last time they played Winnipeg was April 19th, 2012, when I had the good fortune of interviewing Mercedes Lander, the drummer, mm-hmm. the same day that the original Warren Music Shop burnt down and all that, which is a whole other story for a whole other thing. The emphasis I want to talk about here.
When in Winnipeg? 91 Albert Street.
91 Albert Street, yeah, that was the new location. Well, anyways, I gave the documentary and the live CD a spin. And if you are a fan of the band, or even if you're just mildly curious about Kitty and what they meant and what they were and all that, it's definitely something you should check out. Like, as a fan, like, I laughed, I cried, like, it's stuff that I already knew, but didn't really go into too much detail, and to hear the girls talking about it and all that, and just all those little things coming to light, and some of the girls, like, the lineup has changed so often over the years. You know, some of the girls chose not to participate. You know, Lisa Marks and Talina Atfield chose not to, but all the other girls did, and they all had something to say, and it was a really good watch. If you're a fan,
you know, you said, oh, you laughed, you cried. This is an expression you like to say. Somehow I can't see Snowy crying over anything.
I do.
Okay.
It's a joke. I'm not going to cry over this. It's just, that's my way of saying there was some gut-wrenching moments, like when they were talking about their dad passing away, you know. And this was all of this shot was shot before the suicide of one of their members and all that. So that was kind of that was kind of tough to watch as well. But just overall, it's a fantastic watch, and it was very timely. It was very timely for me as well. Yeah. So that's kind of my metal fix. Before we get on with the grunt here, one of the support acts for Midnight was Winnipeg's own and Unspeakable Acts recording artist Regurgitated Guts. I want to drop a track from their latest 7-incher. This is Vermin Feast. When you are a musical maestro as one Gus G is, sometimes you might think, if he's got a bit of the rock star in him, maybe a little bit of the ego in him, we'll give him a pass. We'll give him a pass. When you create so much great music with your band Firewind, you know, all that work with Ozzy Osbourne you did, and you put out a kick-ass new solo record called Fearless, available now on AFM Records, you might let things go. You might let things pass. Mr. Gus G himself, though, was definitely, when I sat down with him recently, he definitely wasn't going to play that role, because I found, you know, as talented as this guy is, very modest. When I was complimenting him on everything that was going on, I swear, even though it was a phoner, I could see him blush. You know, I could see him blush, and he was really thankful for all the kind words that we gave him. It was an opportune time now, because April 20th Gus G's new solo record, Fearless, dropped earlier today. Yes, while we were sweating our bag off at work and getting frustrated and all that, some luckier people were at the record shop a day sooner than record shop day and doing themselves a favor and picking up the new Gus G solo record, which is gives us a very opportune time to sit down and have a really interesting chat with the man who had so much to say. And once again, you know, just like Ross the Boss last week, another bucket list moment as well to get us there. How about the first single off of said Fearless record? This is Gus G with Letting Go.
Terrifying behind open eyes. are sitting down here and talking to Mr. G is the fact that April 20th, his latest solo record, Fearless, drops. Now, this is your opportunity to tell the world, my friend, just why this is such a kick-ass record and why everyone needs to run, don't walk, to the record stores right now and pick it up.
What record stores? I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know. I'm not really good with that stuff, so I guess I would just say if they want to hear some good songwriting and kick-ass rock metal guitar, they should probably give this one a spin and check it out. Yeah.
No, you're too modest. You're too modest. This was your chance to say how great it was. But
yeah,
okay.
I blew it off, man.
That's good. That's good, though. That's good. This will be your debut with AFM Records, though. Now, Firewind, your last record, Immortal, was 2017 on Century Media. Why the switch for you personally to AFM from Century? Why didn't Century just say, hey, come on, we'll just throw this out ourselves?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they wanted to release it as well, but, you know, it was... My contract was up with them, and I mean, I've been with Century Media since I was really young, and I just needed to try something else out and, you know, get some different ideas on the table. And AFM, they approached me at the right time, and I felt it was the right deal for me, and it was the right time to change it up and try something else. I mean, there's no hard feelings with Century Media. We're still friends with all those guys, and, you know, the A&R that basically kind of discovered me and brought me to the label, and it's all good, man. And I mean, you know, we're still in touch. They handle all my back catalog with Firewind and the solo record so far. So it's all good, you know. I'm excited to see what's happening with AFM right now. Yeah, like you said, this is the first record with them on a worldwide level. That's more or less it, really. Just trying out something else.
Signing on with AFM, were they like the one and only? Like, was there sort of like a minor bidding war for a solo record from anyone else?
I had interest from other labels too. You know, I mean, I was obviously looking for a label that, you know, would prioritize my release, and you know, a label, I think, like Century Media, they're on a different in a different place right now, and I don't think they needed to have me on there. Whereas with AFM, they were really excited and they really wanted to prove to me that they could do some things to help my career out. So I was excited about that kind of attitude as well, you know.
Right on. What about from a fan's perspective? Like, if you're a Firewind fan going into this record and all that, and maybe this is the first time they're hearing some solo stuff, is there a big departure between Gus G and Firewind?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's like day and night, because at the end of the day, both projects are within the heavy metal realms, but the thing is, the solo records, I mean, Firewind is more of a power metal band, or at least it's labeled like that, whereas the solo records have more, showcase a little bit more of my hard rock side, some more retro stuff, and then you'll have more straightforward heavy metal stuff. Some of the stuff I did before was a little bit more into the active rock sound kind of things, and but there's still a lot of guitar. I mean, Firewind fans will definitely recognize the guitar playing. I'm not saying I'm playing less guitar. I'm actually playing as much, if not more. And there's no keyboards, obviously, on my solo records. It's just the occasional sounds here and there, whereas Firewind also has a keyboard player. Yeah. So there's similarities, but there's also they're also two very different things.
Right on. How are you going to be able to split your time, or at all, between your solo and Firewind?
Well, I mean, obviously now with Firewind, we've done a world tour for the last album, Immortals, that came out last year. So we just wrapped up a world tour, and we're gonna take a break, and then I'm gonna go into the solo record mode. And when that winds down, I'm going to go back into writing another Firewind record. So I would say each project will have like a year on and off, and then one will kind of like over, you know, take over from the other project. And that's how we were planning to work it out. I mean, things not always don't always go as you plan it, but that's like that's the main goal, to have 1 year with Firewind and then 1 year with a solo band.
Yeah, I think that works. With touring, though, do you ever think could you do both in one night? Can you do your solo and then do a Firewind?
I wouldn't interfere the two like that. I mean, I wouldn't want to go out there and play double set. And I mean, it's I don't know. I know what you mean. I thought about it, but I don't think it would. I don't think it would be wise, and I don't think it would fit so much stylistically wise. So I try to keep them separate like that. When there's a Firewind tour, it should be special, and it should be about Firewind. And when I'm touring solo, it should be about me going out there being a solo artist.
Fair enough. Yeah, I didn't want to put too much on you. I just thought like that's twice the guts for the same price. I think the fans would really dig that.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work out, but the point was to keep them separate, you know.
Fair enough. Who made you want to do this? Like, who made you want to pick up the axe?
I think it must have been Peter Frampton when I was I was 9 years old, and my dad had the record Frampton Comes Alive at home, and I would hear all his solos and do the talk box guitar. And I think I just had some sort of a moment there where I'm like, oh, this is what I need to do in my life. And that's there. And then I asked my dad to get me a guitar, and then I wanted to take guitar lessons and never really looked back ever since.
What about high school? Were you that, you know, sort of like the guitar geek that spent all his days practicing while everyone was out partying or playing basketball or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Correct. I never really hung out with my classmates after school. I would just lock myself into my room and then just practice. It was like I was at school, and then when I wasn't at school, I was in my room practicing. that was it, more or less.
I guess maybe that's what you have to do, like, in order to get, you know, as far as you've gone, like practice, like, and you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and I don't think it never really ends. I mean, there's, you know, the guitar and music really never really ends. So it's just an ongoing journey.
Right. What do you have like left on your bucket list? Shall we say? Is there anything in particular that you can think about? Like, hey, I would like to do this.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it so much. I just write the best songs that I can, really, and then I make sure right now that whenever I put on a record, it's something special, and I really want every record to have a, you know, the bar is set pretty high, so I need to make records at a certain level, and I just, you know, I try to push the envelope every time. The solo thing is still like a baby project, so I'm still building it up. So, yeah, right now I'm going out there playing as many gigs as I can, and hopefully turn more people into it.
Right on. That's what you need to do. One of the things with the Fearless record, and this was kind of a surprise, but it was a pleasant surprise, was your inclusion of the cover of Money for Nothing. What's the whys and wherefores behind that? And I got to tell you, I don't mean to embarrass you, but that is just a killer version. It blows away the original, and that's saying something, because that's a killer track all its own.
What's
the inspiration behind that?
Well, the inspiration was just that I had such a killer riff, such an iconic song. I loved it, and it was just like at the back of my head for a while that I was like, it would be cool to do a heavy metal cover of, or a heavier cover of that song someday. And I was just putting like some sort of a list for maybe doing a covers EP someday, and then like I realized that nobody had really done Money for Nothing. Like, nobody recently had recorded a cover of that. So I had the idea to just play it much heavier on the lower strings and then just do it half tempo and then have just create a much heavier version of it. And I tried to do a demo of it, and I showed it to Dennis Ward, who was my co-producer on the record, and I said, hey, how about this idea? And he loved it. So we tried it in the studio and came out like this.
Right on, right on. And it definitely, I loved how it turned out. And it's the epitome of a cover song. I've often said on this show, when we do play a cover songs, is when you recognize the source material, but it sounds like the artist doing it.
Correct. Yeah, correct. We didn't just do the same thing, basically, with a heavier guitar tone. We changed it around, kind of like made it our own, basically, so without really changing the song, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I mean, you know, all the chords and all the parts, everything is there, but we just did it our own way, and yeah, it is a real cover song, yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. You kind of mentioned the idea in the back of your head of an EP. Any other kind of ideas, any other songs kind of floating in your head that you might want to share now?
I don't know. I had, like, different stuff. I mean, I don't even remember what was on that list anymore. It's been a while since I was thinking about that, but maybe I'll get to do it at some point. Yeah, record some more covers. It's always fun.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, there's a number of songs that... You know, if you put a gun to my head and say, give me 10 of your favorite songs, some of them would be covers and all that. So,
yeah, exactly.
Right on. I would definitely like to hear that from you. Our listeners would be quite pissed at me if we didn't have a quick chat about your friend Ozzy Osbourne. I imagine you still keep in touch with him.
No, I mean, I haven't talked to him in a while. I mean, I haven't seen him in a couple of years. The last time I saw him was at a festival in Belgium a couple of years ago. So that was the last time. And I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now. I mean, I know he's doing a farewell tour, which I'm not part of. But, yeah, I don't know.
How did you get tapped for that gig?
Somebody from the management just shot me an email and said, hey, man, you want to come out and audition for this? And I was like, yeah. So, I went over to L.A., I did an audition, and I guess the rest is history. It went pretty well, and yeah. I mean, originally we did a record together. We did a few gigs, and the next thing you know, I'm there in his house, in his studio, listening to the material he was working. I got to play on the record Scream, and then next thing you know, we are on a world tour. And... I mean, the original idea was to do a record and a tour, and then I was there. I ended up being there in that band for 7 years, so it's pretty amazing, yeah.
Right on. I can just imagine you, you know, much, much younger when you get that magic email, and it's like, oh, my God, holy shit. You must have been just a bundle of nerves.
I mean, I didn't sleep for 3 days. It was insane. I couldn't really believe this was... real. And I immediately started preparing for the audition as soon as I got that email.
This might kind of sound like a dumb question, but can you pick up the guitar right now and belt out Mr. Crowley?
What's that?
This might sound like a dumb question because you're a professional musician, but can you sit down right now and pick up your guitar and belt out like Mr. Crowley?
If I could play right now, yeah.
Sure. Like, no. Like, you still remember how to play it. Like, you don't forget, I imagine.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, I mean, I might need to go through a couple of parts again, but yeah, I remember. Like 90%, I would. Of course, I remember.
yeah. That's good. Do you ever think maybe sometime, since we're talking earlier about covers EP, doing an Ozzy song as Gus G or with Firewood?
Actually, I participated in a Randy Rhoads tribute album a couple of years ago. I played on Goodbye to Romance, and Tim Ripper Owens was singing. It came out pretty cool, actually. Bob Kulick, who's really good at getting all those various artists and compilation CDs and stuff and tribute albums. So there was a lot of great players on there. And, you know, I was just honored that they asked me to be a part of it. I don't know if I would record a cover myself for an Ozzy cover for a record or one of my records, but... I mean, you know, I used to play an Ozzy track. I used to do Crazy Train or do, like, some Sabbath on the early days of my... when I first started out with my first solo record, because I needed more material. So I would throw in some covers from songs that I liked. So I would play some Ozzy or Sabbath. I mean, now with a new record, I obviously focus more on playing my own material from the three solo records I have.
Right on. And I know you're probably quite busy doing the press rounds and all that, so we're going to wrap this up here. But I do want to ask, I'm going to take a shot in the dark, and say, Gus G's not your given name, I'm going to assume that. How did this moniker come about? There's got to be a story there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I obviously have a different passport name, being Greek and all that. But I remember when I was, because I have some family in Florida, and when I was young, I used to visit my uncle down in Miami. And I asked him, like, what's my name in English? And he said, oh, you're Gus. And I just had that nickname kind of stuck with me since I was 10 years old. And I remember a friend of mine, when I was attending Berklee College of Music briefly, a friend of mine used to have the nickname G for me. When I was thinking of putting together like a stage name, obviously I thought, well, maybe I could be the Kenny G of heavy metal, so I should be Gus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So there you go.
Right on. And finally, just... I'm up here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and the one time I'd seen you guys come through here, you guys were headlining a club called The Zoo. Oh, this was quite a while ago with Firewind, and I just wanted to tell you that just to encourage you to get back up here either with Firewind or as a solo artist, just, you know, to cross Canada again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would love to, man. You know, we always have good shows in Canada. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to try and make it back there for sure.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God, I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Right on. Thank you, everyone involved with bringing us that fantastic chat. I've seen Mr. Have you guys had the good fortune of seeing, well, I guess Mr. G? You know, have you guys seen him live?
No. Never had a chance.
The only time I see Mr. G is when I look in the mirror.
Oh God.
Oh, what? That was all right, right? My last name starts with a G.
It's clever. It's clever, but I thought you were going somewhere else. I've seen Gus G live both with Ozzy, but more importantly with Firewind in a more intimate setting. During the old Zoo days here in Winnipeg and all that. And that is the place. That is as great as his material and as great as Ozzy's is, the best way to see Mr. G live is either doing his own stuff or, you know, in that close personal setting like that. Just that is that way you can really see what this guy is all about. You know, and no doubt, I'm sure he'll slap a high five with you afterwards. He's just that kind of guy.
Cool.
Right on. Before we get on out of here, though, like there is some stuff that's just kind of been going on this week that I got to shake my head about. And it's stuff like this that kind of fuels the fire, shall we say. And I'm glad that we have Aaron's expertise in this area because, like, you're a good Christian man. Okay.
Well, earlier we found out you were too.
but you're not exactly trading Christmas cards with the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, Lord, no.
You know, you're actually a good Christian guy that, you know, people would want to actually hang out with, and that you're a really cool guy and all that.
I can attest to that. Humor. Yes, I can attest to that. I have hung out with Aaron.
Right, right. No, I would take a bullet for Aaron. I like to ride him, and I like to give him a hard time, you know. But, you know, I've never met a Christian I didn't like. Now, where all of this is going on, though, is just – what's going on? Like, holy fuck. Every time I've turned on the news so far, Rotting Christ is being arrested on terrorism charges in the country, Georgia, because of their name. And Walmart is refusing to carry Stryper's album, Goddamn Evil. Okay, first of all, Aaron, I want to run by the whole Rotting Christ situation with you because this is, like I said, this is your area of expertise. What's your initial gut reaction when stuff like this happens, like, but particularly the arrest?
So I think what's happening here is the same thing that was kind of happening back in the 80s with the PMRC, is that people are just so uptight. And they're uptight about the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you cannot shield the world from evil. Right? And I think that's what drives a lot of this stuff. So, you know, I didn't have a chance to look up the Rotting Christ article, so I really don't know the premise of why they were arrested in the country, Georgia.
Okay.
Do you,
sorry.
Do you know more?
I'll give you the quick snowy notes here. Rotting Christ was arrested on grounds of terrorism because of a name like that, they were Satanists and therefore terrorists.
So let's talk about terrorism. Terrorism is blowing up and crashing a plane into the Twin Towers. Sure. Terrorism is like blowing up buildings, banks, walking to a movie theater, opening fire, walking to a nightclub, opening fire.
Right. Trying to instill terror. Yes.
A band name is not fear. It's art. Whether you like the art or not is your personal decision, but it's art.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants to challenge me on this one, the Vatican actually purchases art that you wouldn't think the Vatican would own. The Vatican has some rather, what would be considered erotic and pornographic pieces of art.
Okay.
You know, and I think I learned that on HBO's Real Sex. But great series back in the day, right? What, nothing? Neither of you?
Oh, sorry.
I've never watched it. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. But I definitely approve of the title. Like, that's...
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, like, I always believe in the freedom of speech. Now, granted, outside, you know, the confines of this country, it is treated way differently. I mean, look at the things that are going on in Russia and all this sort of stuff. I mean, even here, when you mentioned the Westboro Baptist Church, what drives me batshit crazy is someone's going to call themselves a Christian, and then they're going to lash out at somebody they disagree with a venom and a hate that was nowhere in the Bible demonstrated by Christ, by Jesus, right? It was always demonstrated by the opposite side of the coin here. So, you know, for a group like the Westboro Baptist Church should be like, well, we are defending ourselves against the evils of Christ by protesting and saying God hates fags. So nope, 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 nope. God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He may not agree with the lifestyle, but it is your choice. That's the purpose of free will. Jesus would have hung out with everybody. That was the whole point. You know, that we could go on about this point.
it's got your tongue in the tide.
Yeah.
It just frustrates the hell out of me, because the thing is, man, like, so Is a gay lifestyle for me? Nope, sure isn't. Am I going to, you know, petition and say that other people shouldn't do it? No. Because if that's the Christian lifestyle. Like, you love everybody for who they are, how they're created. You know what I mean? Like, people just get upset about the wrong things. Totally. But so weird. Let's talk about the striper thing, because that one I did read, and that's just bullshit.
Because this is kind of my wheelhouse too, because basically what's going on here is Walmart has refused to carry Striper's Goddamn Evil. Now, I can't even begin to imagine why, considering Striper is a Christian metal band.
Of course, it's over the title.
Oh, I think that's it exactly. And for me personally, all I'm going to say about this is just one more reason as to why I do not shop at Walmart. I don't. People find that hard to believe. Well, why don't you shop at Walmart? It's so cheap there and all that. It's like, yeah, it is, but it's a predatory company, you know, that goes, you know, into these small towns, and because they're so cheap, they usurp the economy. They put all these mom and pop shops right out of business. They're killing the music industry, you know. And it's like a feudalistic system now, where, you know, Walmart is the king of the castle, and everyone is just like, you know, the peasants that got to go to the castle every once in a while, you know, for their needs and wants and all that. It's just like, I can't handle this. And it's so conservative as well. And then stuff like this happens, and it's just, they took one look at the title. This is a knee-jerk reaction. This is total ignorance. And it's just, it's fuel to the fire. Now, Rock, you are a Striper fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you echo these statements?
Well, no, of course not. The thing is, and they said it's not just Walmart. There's also certain Christian chains who don't want to carry it either. So, but the thing is that, okay, when you read the title, yeah, it's like Goddamn Evil, you know. But no, it's like God damn evil. They actually spelled it with a space between God and damn, meaning it's like what Michael Sweet explains in the article. He says, it's a prayer request. We're asking God to damn out the evil. That damn it, get it out of here.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing, the exact same thing, the same flack that they got, except maybe at a lower level when they put out to hell with the devil, because they're saying, because if we're saying, oh, you're going to hell with the devil. No, we're saying to hell with the devil. We don't want the devil. Get the hell away from us.
You know, that's what I saw.
And it's a play on words. You know, it's clever, because you can read it two ways. You know, it's not like, you know, like Venom at war with Satan. They were literally saying, we're going to war with Satan. You know, but you could have read it, I'm at war with Satan. I'm against Satan, you know?
Yeah, I'm either fighting with or against.
Yeah, so either way, this was the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, this Goddamn Evil, I mean, it's that, you know, the way it's spelled out, that's what they're saying. You know, it's just cast out evil. Let's send it away. So it's ridiculous. It's just, like you said, it's probably a knee-jerk reaction. But what you got to think also in the way is that the type of people that do shop at Walmart, a lot of those people would read it the wrong way, and then they would complain, and then blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And then Walmart would have to, they would have ordered all these CDs, and then they would have to send them back, you know, and or probably be stuck with them and sell them in the dollar bins, you know.
But I mean, let's think about this though. What's the percentage of Walmart shoppers that can read?
That's true too. I couldn't resist.
And while we're at a pause here, we cannot gloss over the fact that Snowy was able to equate Walmart to the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked in feudal system. I mean, like, seriously, like, that's no small feat here. That was pretty impressive.
I can't take total credit for that, but it's a theory that I heard and that I saw and I totally agree with. And like, yeah, like, it's wow. And and it, like, that's one of the things that I truly believe is killing the music industry as well. I'm sure Walmart has put more than one mom and pop record shop out of business.
Oh, of course.
Because there's, you know, this, when they, I imagine Walmart doesn't really carry too many CDs anymore anyways, but I imagine they had a healthy stock at one point, you know, and I imagine they were a lot cheaper.
Yeah, but for a long time, though, they really weren't carrying. I mean, they wouldn't carry most of the stuff that we would shop for. They've been banning music for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I'm really going to sound like a jerk here in a second, but the primary music shopper at Walmart was really country music fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, that was the bulk of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the same people who'd be upset with the To Hell with the Devil.
Yeah, because back in the day, you would you know, I'm talking about 5-8 years ago, you'll go into a Walmart and look at what they had. It was all the mainstream stuff, you know, the Beyoncés and stuff like that, and country.
Yeah.
They had a little bit of hip-hop, but the safe hip-hop, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any stuff that's going to make you think.
I mean, they had some hard rock, and they had Guns N' Roses and stuff like that, but then they had some Kiss, you know, but it was light fare. It was all light fare that they had, you know.
Nothing that was going to make you think, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if they had Metallica and Megadeth. I mean, I'd never really shopped for music at Walmart ever, really. I just, you know, once in a while, if I happened to be there, I would just look at, happen to walk by, say, oh yeah, okay, crap, that's okay. crap, oh, another one, that's okay. Crap, you know.
Crap.
And I would walk away.
I will say, though, Walmart, just it's given me a lot of entertainment, because every once in a while I'm kind of pissing around on
people of Walmart,
whatever, the people of Walmart thing, and I'm just like, yeah. I can see that.
But
I can see some of these people.
I want you guys' opinion, though. Okay, now Walmart's a big retailer. You know, if they would have carried Stryper's album, they would have probably gotten a lot of sales out of it. But yeah. do you think with this, is this like the same type of thing as the PMRC, the effect that they had back in the 80s, where it's going to have the opposite effect, where the Stryper album is going to sell more because of this controversy? Or do you think this is just not, it's going to peter out and then whatever?
So I don't know, because like back in the 80s, and this is like coming from the Dee Snider book. So something he pointed out that I didn't realize is that rock and roll back in the 80s, there's a lot more middle finger. There's a lot more damn the man. There's a lot more just fuck you, I'll do what I want. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem to be the case as much anymore. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, does Stryper have young fans? And I mean, you know, the old fans that they have, you weren't going to buy it at Walmart, even if it was there, you'd buy it at Park Avenue CDs,
mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's an interesting question. We really needed Corrine for this, you know?
Yeah, but Corrine is not
right generation.
But she's not a Stryper fan, so because it's a Christian band.
But she'd be able to answer the, you know, if it was controversial, would she be more likely to buy it?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I absolutely did when I was a teen. You know, I mean, hell, that's why we all knew about Slayer's Rain and Blood.
I just bought it because it was Slayer. I didn't care.
It was Slayer. Yeah.
Remember
that was the third record in.
I lived in the middle of nowhere, and that record made a big deal, you know, in my sleepy little town. I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, the town I grew up in and went to school in was, you know, just a larger version of Footloose, you know.
I was just going to say, is this Beaumont?
Yeah, pretty much, man, pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly it, you know.
You make a good point. Like, yeah, I remember I was a metalhead, but I was a 16-year-old punker, like, in heart and soul and mind and all that. So I didn't mind rocking the boat. And I still have that every once in a while, the fuck you to society and all that. I don't know if the kids today, and kids, I mean, you know, that, what we were back then, I don't know if because everything is kind of there's a certain sense of entitlement to the young kids today. Everything is kind of handed to them, and everything is on a computer, and everything is sanitized and saturated, and their parents made sure that when they went out, you know, when they got home, did you wash your hands and all that? You didn't climb a tree. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, this is something I'm going to have to, I have a lot of friends that we should have had them on just to chime in on this, because they would be of that rebellious age and all that. I don't know if I'm seeing it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just seeing our generation with rose-covered glasses. Because, yeah. You know, are we that when I was your age? Are we being that guy now? I don't know.
Yep, I think we are.
Well, if we can edumacate the youths of today, then that's what we did. How are we doing for time?
We need to go.
We're kind of going in extra innings.
We've been in the extra innings for a long time.
Okay, well, before we get on out of here, speaking of extra innings, though, I just want to quickly say hello to our social media guy, Big Willie. Him and I, we have that farmer's bet going on,
mm-hmm.
where he took the Yanks, and I took the Jays. Well, as of last night, he's one game up on me. The Jays are playing the Yanks right now as we speak, so I'm going to have to check the score. But Big Willie, you're one up. Same thing with Corrine. I have the same bet. I got the Jays. She's got the Orioles, but Jays are kicking their ass. That's going to be a walk in the park. Sorry, sweetheart. I got your number. Thank you so much, you guys. Tonight was absolutely fantastic. Getting the weekend off right. I got some shows coming up and going to be doing some more snowy stuff for this weekend. But, yes, it's time to get on out of here. But before we do that, let's go out on a Rotting Christ song that I want to send out to all the suits at Walmart, shall we say. Let's go out.
And Georgia.
The country, Georgia. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna give you some Rotting Christ. They just dropped kind of their greatest hits record called Their Greatest Spells, a brand new song called I Will Not Serve. How's that a fuck you? In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a Why Did We Let Him Go? Now that makes sense. Episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
You know what would be cool if a striper covered Rotting Christ?
radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.